Well, amen. Thank you, preacher. It's been a privilege and a blessing to preach in this meeting. Amen. And I am glad to be here. You can go ahead and open your Bibles to Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. I don't want to thank the Eagles. Amen. They gave me one of their little emblems. And so I'll take that home with me. Amen. But I appreciate it. Whoever made those, that's pretty awesome. I guess that was done with a plasma cutter, amen. If anybody knows, maybe I'm wrong, but that's pretty awesome, and I appreciate it. None of the other teams gave me anything. I don't know why, but anyways, no, I'm just kidding, but it's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, sir.
Amen. I appreciate the music, too, man. I love that song. The Rochesters have made that song famous. I don't know if I think I'm speaking right on that. I don't know if any of you know the Rochesters. How many know the Rochesters? Amen. Several or four more than I thought would know them. Amen. I know them personally. They're friends of ours. Of course, they're from the States and the Carolinas. And a older gentleman, not really old, just a gentleman over on the, I think he was in the Carolinas. I may be wrong on that, but a guy wrote that song, I Have Been Blessed. And he wrote the song, gave it to the Rochesters, and they took it and sang it, and now it is one of the favorites in America, amen, and youth groups sing it in America, and my kids will be singing that song very soon. I have the words to it, and it's just a favorite of mine. I love to hear it, amen. I was surprised that y'all even knew it up here, but that was awesome. I appreciate it, amen. But I want to say thank you to the young people. You've really made it fun for me. I know you've not spent much time with me, and I've not spent much time with you. And I'm out there and there if you want to say anything to me. But it doesn't hurt my feelings if you don't. But I have really enjoyed myself just sitting back there just watching you. Amen? And it's been exciting. It's been fun. And I really didn't know what to expect when I come up here. I told preacher and some other guys, my first time ever preaching in Canada. I've done some fishing in Canada, amen. And I think everybody ought to come to Canada and go fishing, amen. Y'all might not think that, but Americans know that the fishing's not as good in America as it is here, amen. But I have enjoyed myself. It's been a blessing. It's been fun. I've enjoyed meeting some more preachers. And the only Canadian preacher that I know or did know before this meeting was Brother Seeley. He's the only one that I knew. And is he Canadian or is he just missionary to Canada? I think he's just a missionary to Canada. So maybe this is the first time I ever met preachers, amen, that are actually from Canada and preaching here. So it's been a blessing to meet you fellas, and it's been awesome. But man, I tell you what, I think the noise is coming from this group right here. Wouldn't you say, preacher, the screamers? Amen? Amen, amen. We don't need hearing aids. We need plugs, hallelujah, something. But it's been pretty awesome to see you getting excited about this meeting. I was sitting back there with the preachers. I told him, you know, I should have brought my daughter this meeting. I got a 14-year-old daughter. She would have thought it was neat, but it's done very well, and I don't get to a lot of teen meetings. I'm doing more this year than I've ever done, and don't get to a lot of them, but this is probably one of the most organized teen meetings I have ever been to, amen. I've been to camps, and I've been to places like that where the teens have a lot of time to do nothing, really, but I mean, it's like clockwork here, and it's pretty awesome. So, Golden Plains, you've done a magnificent job, amen? And I think you've done a fantastic job. A lot of us look to the preacher, and we know that the leadership definitely has a lot to do with it, and we thank the Lord for the preacher, but I know he could not do it without good, godly people and workers, amen? And I think it's awesome. I think you've done a phenomenal job, and man, I've had a good time. It's been great. So, great job, and teens, sorry you have to finish up with me, amen, but the fun was pretty neat, amen. I told preacher, I said it'd be awesome if you put all those games in a book, because there's a lot of youth leaders around the country and in other countries that would love to have that information. I remember whenever I was a younger preacher and I used to work with teens, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I didn't know what to do with them. We would have youth night with the teens, and we would try to figure out things to do with them, and they was always corny. They always seemed stupid, and the only thing you could really come up with was something that was gross. I mean, that was usually the best thing to come up with, amen? But you have things that are not only gross, amen? I mean, I really have to admit, I was sitting back there kind of hoping somebody would puke, throw up, toss their cookies or something, but I was impressed, you know. I mean, I was impressed. I think one of the young ladies down here was about to, and I was like, come on, come on, and it didn't happen. And I told the preacher, I said, told the preacher back there, I said, one pukes, they're all going to puke. I said, it's really going to be awesome. So anyways, but nobody threw up, amen. But Judges chapter number 16 tonight, Judges 16, I have enjoyed myself, and tomorrow a preacher is going to let me have a day off from preaching. That's good. I've never preached 6 times in 2 days. I've preached 4 times in 2 days, but never 6 times in 2 days, so this has been a new thing for me also, but give me a break tomorrow, and then I'll be here Sunday, preaching here to the church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then, Lord willing, back on the plane and flying back home, amen, to see my wife and children who are down in northern Mississippi, and for those of you who don't know, I have a wife and 6 children, and then we will be preaching there in Mississippi, and then I will be leaving and going to Missouri for a meeting in another place and another place. And so anyways, amen, that's the way it is for us, and we appreciate being here. It's been a blessing. But Judges chapter number 16 tonight, I want to finish off with this message. God's put this on my heart. I think this is what God wants. Verse number 1, Judges 16. The Bible said, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Too bad. So sad. It's terrible. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city. Were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the 2 posts and went away with him bar and all and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, and tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, because behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. tell me they wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee? Boy, don't that sound just like the world, amen? Like the devil. How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. That's sad, sad day when you become like everybody else. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Father, God, we've had a good time tonight, good music, Lord, wonderful fellowship, and I pray, Lord, in preaching that, God, you'd bless. Holy Ghost, we welcome you in the service. I pray for strength in the voice and the body, and I pray for a strong mind. I pray for utterance of speech. I pray, God, for the power of the Spirit of God to work through me and deal with the hearts of young people. Father in heaven, please do not let Satan mess anything up, Lord, right here at the close. God, I pray that Satan be rebuked, and he has no part in this service. And God, I pray for strength and power. God, I depend 100% on you. God, it's not in me. It's in you. And Father, I pray for your help. And God, I pray that you do a mighty work in the hearts of your young people and the adults that are sitting here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege to be able to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this, when judgment falls. When judgment falls. We live in a day today where many young people are falling into sin and getting away from God. Sad thing about it is many of our young people are following right in the footsteps of church members, and many of them are running together in sin and in the world. And can I say to you, God never intended you or wanted you to resemble or be close to what we call the world at all. Those who serve God today have an opportunity of a lifetime. There are people all over the place in every country, no matter where you're at, in every town, that are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And you have the opportunity to be used by God to do great things for God, just like Samson did. Samson had the opportunity to do a great work for God. Samson had the opportunity to see revival. Samson had the opportunity to be used by God in miraculous ways. But Samson messed up on God. Samson got away from God. Samson's eyes did not stay on the Lord. We see in the Bible in Judges 16, 1 through 21, how his hair was a sign of separation unto Jehovah God from sin, which gave him power with God. Little story of Samson, a little background. You can look over in Aya in chapter 13. I'm sorry if you want to look back there, you have to right now. But later on, chapter 13, verse 3, we can find that the angel of the Lord comes to the woman, which is Samson's mother, and tells her, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a Nazarite unto God. He's going to be used to bring about a deliverance to the children of Israel. And he tells him, he said, you're not allowed to. No wine, no strong drink. Don't eat anything unclean. He's going to be a Nazarite unto God. Samson's father's name was Manoah. In chapter 13, verse number 5, it says that Samson was a man chosen by God to begin a deliverance. In other words, a revival for the children of Israel. In chapter number 5, verses 6, we see that God begins to use Samson. Samson, no doubt, is a young man. Samson is a young man that's filled with the power of God. He's filled with the spirit and power of God. And God comes upon him mightily, and he kills a lion with his bare hands. He does that through the Spirit of God, through the power of God, and Samson is starting to have great victory in his life. Now listen to me, young people. Samson was raised right, and Samson is starting to be used by God. God is beginning to use Samson, just like he's using some of you now. Some of you are being a blessing, and God is beginning to use some of you at a certain age that you're at, because you're following God, because you're doing what you're supposed to do. But there was a problem with Samson. The problem with Samson was he liked the world too much. You see, chapter 14, we find that he wanted a woman of the Philistines. Samson did not want to separate himself from sin. Samson wanted to tamper with it. Samson wanted to play with it. Samson wanted to go down to the world, the Philistines, a type of the flesh. He wanted to hang out in the world. He wanted to hang out in the Philistine crowd. You see, friend, he did not want to listen to his parents or anybody that was in authority. Samson thought, you know, I can do what I want to do. Does that ever sound familiar? Yes, it does, friend. Like many young people today, Samson is growing up around the world. But his mom and dad have tried to bring him up right. You would agree with me, I believe, no doubt, that his mom and dad tried their best. In chapter 13, we find that a woman is approached by the angel, and then the angel leaves. And then we find, preacher, that Manoah, the father, says, they entreat, they ask God, can he come back? I want to talk to him. We want to find out exactly what has to be done. So God gives grace and sends the angel back, and they talk to, he talks to Samson's mother, and he talks to Samson's father. And I believe they were desirous. I believe they wanted to raise their child for God. And I believe they did the best they could. I believe they tried to raise Samson right. I believe his mother was clean. I believe she stayed away from the things that she was supposed to stay away from, like the wine and the strong drink and not eating anything unclean. I believe they kept Samson in church. I believe they raised him in the temple. I believe they took him like he was supposed to. I believe they did the sacrifices like they were supposed to. I believe that they raised him right. But whenever he got older, he made a decision, and it was a wrong one. You see, the woman that he liked deceived him and later married his so-called friend. The sin, this world, the sin-sick world will lie to you. Listen to me, young people. It will deceive you. Samson don't want to listen to his mom and daddy. Samson wants to do what he wants to do. Samson's got it made up in his mind. He likes a girl. He don't care what mama thinks. He don't care what daddy thinks. He likes her. He don't care what the leaders think of the day. He's not worried about it. He's going down to the Philistines. He's hanging around the wrong kind of crowd. He's not even supposed to be messing with them kind of women. He's not even supposed to be a part of that kind of crowd. And Samson likes that woman. He ain't caring about what anybody else says. And the next thing we know, she deceives him and marries his so-called friend. Some think it's okay to have friends in the world. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you have friends of the world. It could be a girl, could be a guy, could be guy friends, girlfriends. Young people, look up in here. It's not okay. Disagree with me, you want to, but it's not okay. They will pull you down. They will not bring you up. You see, friend, it's not okay. So there is a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. You see, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let's move on. In chapter 16, we see that Samson, when the Bible teaches us that he lays with a harlot, he commits the awful sex sin of fornication. Not only has he gotten close to the world, now he is in the world. Listen to me, young people. You don't just fall into sin. You gradually get in over your head. Amen? Mom and daddy, the same for you. It ain't one day you're serving God, you're going to youth meeting, you're carrying your Bible, you're learning verses. It ain't that. No, you're not serving God one day and going to church faithfully, and all of a sudden, wham, you fall into sin. No, that's not the way it works. You look at it a little bit, you listen to it a little bit, you hang out a little bit with this kind of guy, you hang out a little bit with that guy, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray. It's a little gradually falling into sin. Next thing you know, you're gone. You see, friend, Samson lived a loose life. Whatever he wanted to do, he's not worried what anybody else thinks or says. Now we see him in the Bible in chapter 16 with Delilah, who is nothing more but another deceiver. She's thinking only about herself. She's thinking about the money she can get. She's thinking about the popularity and the fame she can get. She ain't worried about Samson. But you'll notice Samson played with the world and played with God four times too many. Look in your Bible, verse number 7. Look down there if you would. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. So he's messing around with God. He's playing. He shouldn't be. Look at verse number 11. He said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Look at verse number 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. Ain't it something how he's getting closer and closer and closer to what he's not supposed to be messing around with? Then if you would look at verse number 17. Verse number 17, friend, the Bible said that he told her all his heart. Now looking toward the last part of the verse, and it said, he said this, he said, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Messed up, Samson. You just messed up royally. Look at verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed him daily. with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. The Bible teaches us that every single day she's pressing him. Every single day, Samson, how do you get your strength? Samson, where do you get your strength from? Samson, why won't you tell me where your strength comes from? Samson, you don't love me. If you love me, you tell me. If you love me, you tell me. Samson, please. I mean, come on, I'm your girl. Why won't you tell me, Samson, what it is? And every single day, every single day, every single day, she pressed him every single day. The Bible said until his soul was vexed unto death. In other words, he was irritated. He was provoked. He was agitated. Are you listening to me? Then he gave in. He quit fighting. You see, young people, listen to me. You cannot hang around the world every day and it not affect you. Samson was around her every single day. Samson didn't need to be around her every day, but he was around her every single day. And if he would have been around her every single day, Samson possibly wouldn't have fallen. If he'd have never went around, he'd have never fallen. And so every single day she's pressing him, and he got sick and tired of fighting. He got fed up. He got tired of hearing it, and he gave in just like you do. You hang around the wrong crowd, every day it affects you. Every day they'll press you, they'll press you. Satan will press you to try to get you to do wrong, to speak wrong, to talk wrong, to listen to wrong music, to smoke, to drink, to fornicate, to get involved in pornography, to get involved in ungodliness. And every single day the devil will oppress you and fight you if you hang around the world. And it won't be long, young person. You'll get irritated, you'll get aggravated, you'll get sick of fighting, and you'll give up. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Can I say, while he was sleeping on her knees, she began to afflict him? Or we could say, while he was sleeping on the devil's knees, he began to afflict him. That's exactly what Satan is doing to our young people in our churches today. If you would picture with me Delilah, she's probably a pretty good-looking girl. Probably got long hair, probably got long fingernails, amen. She's probably talks sweet and kind, knows exactly how to say the words. Samson is not this big stout guy that everybody thinks he is because they don't know where his strength comes from. But I picture Delilah, she's sitting there in her little quarters or wherever she's at, and sweet talking Samson, come over here, Samson, lay down on my lap. I can see her as she takes them long fingernails and runs them through his hair and runs them through the scalp of his head and begins to talk to him. You know, Samson, there's nobody like you. You know, Samson, you are the strongest man on the earth. Samson, you're amazing. She's sweet talking him. I can see her as she's rubbing his head, and as she's maybe rubbing her hands across, soft little hands across his face, and she's maybe rubbing his back or maybe rubbing his arms, and maybe she's just sweet talking him, maybe kisses him every now and then, and she begins to massage him and rub on him and run her fingers through his head, and next thing you know, Samson's getting a little bit sleepy, and Samson's getting a little bit tired, and she's just telling him all the good things about him, and she's and sitting there, and she's he's just falling right off into the trap of the devil, and he's falling right to sleep. He's got Satan's got him exactly where he wants him. She's stroking his hair. She's lying to him. She's getting him exactly where she wants him. And then he falls asleep. You listen to me? And the Bible says she began to afflict him. That means she began to cause pain to him. He didn't even know it. She began to hurt him, and he didn't even know it. He was asleep. He was gone. And then they had his hair cut off. It was gone. He come in and cut it off. And the Bible said when he got up, he wist not that the Lord was departed. He didn't even know God was gone. Let me say to you, young people, the devil will use people to destroy you.
Samson thinks, oh, I got me a girl now. Samson thinks she loves him. Samson is being a fool is what he's being. Samson's messed around with the world, and Samson's letting her lie to him. He's falling right in the trap of the devil. That's exactly what the devil will do to you, young person. He'll stroke your hair. He'll tell you how wonderful you are. He'll tell you how popular you are. He'll tell you how all your friends think you're the greatest. He'll tell you how everything's wonderful. Serve me. Come on, let's go have a party. It's fun. Everybody will like you. He'll stroke you. He'll rub you. He'll tell you how great you are. And then all of a sudden that hair's cut off and judgment's fixing to fall. Judgment fell on Samson. The devil will use people to destroy you. She was doing more to hurt him than he realized. He thought she loved him. His life's fixing to change. His hair typified strength and blessings and power with God, but he lost it all when judgment fell. You see, friend, the devil will take what God gives you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you power. God wants to give you a calling. Like I preached this morning, God wants to call you, but Satan will steal that all from you. You see to me, listen to me, young person, judgment will fall when you cross the line. That's exactly what happened to Samson. He played around too much. The devil in the world got him slowly but surely. Listen to me, young people. Now the devil's laughing. The devil used to hate Samson. He didn't like Samson. He didn't want Samson being used by God. He didn't want Samson doing anything for God's people. And he was out to destroy him, just like he's out to destroy you. You don't think Satan wants to destroy you? Oh, yes, he does want to destroy you. He can't stand your guts. It don't matter if you're a sweet little beautiful girl or some strong young man. He don't care who you are. He hates you. You're understand what I'm saying? And he wants to destroy you. Just like he wanted to destroy Satan. And just like Satan wanted to destroy Samson. And I say to you, friend, listen to me, young people. Satan is a very, very patient devil. He don't care if he gets you when you're 20, 12, 15, 25, 30, 45, 50. He don't care if you're 60, 65, 75, 80, or 90. If he can get you, that's all he wants to do is get you. If he can destroy your life, but he wants to do it when you're a teenager. Samson, no doubt, probably saw his hair on the ground before they put his eyes out. Samson can't do anything about it because judgment had fallen. He couldn't put it back on or back together. Judgment had fallen. He knew he shouldn't be doing the things of the world because his mom and dad taught him right. He didn't think much about it. He didn't think much about mom and dad. He didn't think much about what the preachers had said or what the priests had said or what the leaders or the prophets had said. He didn't think much to say or have about it. But can I say to you, friend, he's thinking about it now. And listen to me, young people. God's people and the church wants to play with the world too much. Young people today want to play with the world too much, just like Samson. You listen to me. Judgment will fall. I promise you. It will come. James 4:4 said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Judgment has fallen now in Samson's life. God's gone when he needs him the most. Fellowship is gone. He lost fellowship with God and the brethren. The Bible says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Are you listening, young people? God says you are supposed to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, in other words, you are to express disapproval. Samson didn't do that. Samson fellowshipped with them. Now, I say to you, God's gone. Fellowship's gone. Righteousness is gone. Can I say to you, God heareth the prayer of the righteous, but he forsaketh the wicked. Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But now, Samson's not righteous. God's not hearing his cry. Not only that, fruit's gone. Listen to me. The fruit is gone. God's gone. Fellowship's gone. Righteousness is gone. Not only that, fruit is gone. He is now a castaway. You understand? God's done with him. He's done with him. There's no telling what Samson could have done for God. You picture God saying this, I wanted to use you, but you know what? I'm done with you. That word cast takes the word fling. Just like that word cast takes the word when they cast them into hell, they're going to fling them into hell. How would you like it if God said, you know what, I'm sick of your sin. You've heard preaching. Your mom and dad tried to raise you right. Your youth leaders tried to help you. Your preacher has preached to you. I've sent you and put you under good preaching. You've been under a good family. And all of a sudden, God says, you know what, I'm sick and tired of you living the life you're living. And he cast you away. Judgment fails. You're in trouble.
That's exactly what happened to Samson, friend. The fruit's gone. He's a castaway. He used to be used by God. You understand? Judges 15, 16, he slew 1,000 men, friend. He used to do great things for God, but he played with sin too long, and God has turned many over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, and he'll do the same thing to you. No one likes to think about the payment of sin. No one wants to think about the judgment of God falling upon them, but I say to you, you'll lose your blessings and your power and your fellowship when judgment falls. But when judgment falls, I'll give you a few points and I'm done. Number one, you'll receive imprisonment. You will receive imprisonment. Judges 16, 21, the Bible says down there, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was a servant of God, but now he is a servant to the world. We find Samson was no doubt a great man and could have been used greatly by God, but now we find him grinding in the mill. He is in a place that is supposed to be a place of the Bible times. During that time, it was a place for servants and women. So it was a very disgraceful place for Samson to be. And I can see Samson sitting there as he's thinking, as he's grinding in a mill with that large rock. He's sitting there grinding, and he's sitting there thinking what he could be doing for God. There's no doubt in my mind that Samson, preacher, is sitting there thinking, man, God wanted to use me to bring a deliverance to the children of Israel, and I should have listened to my mom and dad. I should have listened to God. I should have done what's right. But no, here I am now. I'm in the prison house. I'm grinding in the prison house. And Samson is in prison, friend. And I say to you, there are many preachers today that are grinding in the prison house of the world. There are many young people today that God wanted to use when they got older, but they're grinding in the prison house of the world. There are many mom and daddies in the church today that God wanted to do something with, but they're grinding in the prison house of the world. And I say to you, friend, when judgment falls, you will receive imprisonment. Listen to me. There's no time for God. There's no time for God for Samson. And now there's no time for God because he's in prison. Grinding in the prison house of the world. Now he's bound to what he got himself into. He's back in bondage. He's chained in sin. He cannot do anything for God now. Are you listening? He's no doubt thinking, I wish I'd have never met Delilah. Things are running through his mind. Many young adults today are bound. Many teenagers are bound. Many people in our churches are bound to the imprisonment of this world. And Satan's got them right where they want them. Now you stay with me. And many people are thinking, I wish I could do this for God. I wish I could do that for God. I wish I would have never done this. I wish I never would have done that. The Bible said in Luke 13, 16, we see Jesus and he's healing a woman that was bound for 18 years. And can I say to you, listen to me, young people. If Satan can bind you, he will bind you. If he can keep you from doing anything for God, he's going to do his dead level best to stop you and hinder you from ever doing anything for God. Let me say, you receive imprisonment. Number two, you receive scars for life. The Bible said in verse 21 that they put out his eyes. Can you imagine that? Samson used to party and play and have a good time. Samson used to be strong only because of God. Samson put the bars of the gates on his shoulders and walked away up to the top of the hill of Hebron and threw them down. He walked a long ways with those. Slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. 1,000. Not with a machine gun, the jawbone of an ass. Samson was touched by God. Samson was a young man, no doubt, that was moved by God. And Samson could remember that, but there came a day, young people, listen, you picture the scene. I'll go out as other times. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Can you imagine when them guys grabbed a hold of him and he tried to throw them? They couldn't go nowhere. They threw him down. They took Samson, you listen to me, they put him on the ground. There's no doubt they grabbed him by his head. No doubt that they were punching him. No doubt that they were no telling what they were doing to him, beating him.
And somebody took over there with a sharp object, and they held his head still, and they stuck something in his eyeball and dug it out. And they stuck one in the other eyeball and dug it out. Scarred for life. It was painful. And by the way, the finished product of sin is painful. It was something that would never return. Stay with me. It was something that he never forgot. By the way, he said in verse 28, he asked God to pay back the Philistines for his two eyes. That's what he wanted payback for. It was a scar to him. Listen to me. Girls, that boy will scar you. Go ahead and let him touch you and mess with you. He'll scar you. Hey, fella, that girl will scar you. Are you listening to me? This world will scar you. Sin will scar you. It scarred Samson. You know why Samson got scarred? Played around with sin too much. You see, Samson thought what he was doing was fun. He thought he was the life of the party. Are you listening to me? I mean, his thinking is, I don't have time for God right now. I'm having too much fun. I'll serve God when I want to. And I say to you, you may have the friends. You may have the flirting and the drinking and the dope and the sex and the music and the popularity. You might have the women and the guys and the money. You might have everybody that likes you. You may be one of those teenagers that's popular in the eyes of everybody at school or everybody at the church or whoever, wherever it may be in your neighborhood, wherever you live, and you're popular in the eyes of somebody else. But can I say to you, listen to me, young people, listen to me, scars are coming.
Don't miss this statement. Your life is not like a chalkboard. You don't erase your mistakes and start over. Your life's not like a chalkboard. You don't erase your mistakes and start over. There's things in my life that haunt me. I wish to God they wasn't there. If I had a penny for every time I thought, God, if I could go back, I'd be rich. If I could go back to the age of 16 years old and take 16 to 19, just beginning 19, out of my life, I would have very, very few, if any, scars at all. Any scars that you receive usually is in your teenage years. There's women, girls, guys, men that have committed the awful sin of adultery, fornication, and ungodly, filthy other sins, and they are scarred. I'll give you the illustration of a girl that was a friend of mine. She was not a girlfriend as in a relationship, but she was a girlfriend as a friend. She had a boyfriend. This girl's name was Tammy. Me and Tammy went to school together, and we were just good friends. We had a lot of classes together. We worked at the same place, and so we knew each other. We was around each other a lot because of school and because of work. But Tammy had a boyfriend. Tammy's boyfriend name was Eddie. Eddie was older than I was and was older than she was. He was in the same school, but in a different class, a different grade. I knew Eddie, but we wasn't friends because we was such a different age. But me and Tammy talked a lot. And it was just a friendship talk, that's it, nothing else. And one day I walked into work and walked into the back or the front office. It was at that grocery store that I told you I was working at, and I walked into the office, and Tammy, I was lost at the time, please understand, and Tammy said, Jason, she said, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby. I said, well, good, Tammy, that's awesome. I said, so what are you and Eddie going to do? Y'all going to get married? You know, I mean, I'm lost, because I'm not thinking right. And she said, she kind of dropped her head, she said, no, she said, I think I'm going to have an abortion. And I was lost and knew better. And I looked at Tammy, I said, Tammy,
I said, you don't want to do that. She said these words. She said, Jason, will you hate me if I do? I said, no, I won't hate you. I said, but you don't want to do that. I didn't hear anything more about it, and I left it alone, and we just went on, and everything was fine. And about 2 weeks later, I think it was, I walked into the office, and Tammy's eyes were swelled up. Her face was red. She had been crying uncontrollably for a long amount of time. I said, Tammy, I said, what is wrong with you? And she just looked at me. I said, Tammy, did you have the abortion? She shook her head like this and fell in my chest, weeping. Scarred. Scarred. Girls, I guarantee you that has been probably approximately, if I could take a good guess, that has been probably about 18 years ago. And I guarantee you that Tammy has never forgotten that. Scarred. There was a young man that God spoke to about preaching. There was a young boy in a meeting one time, kind of like this meeting or maybe a church revival, and a young man about your age, fellas, and he was sitting there in church, and the Spirit of God was dealing with his heart about preaching. God was dealing with his heart about being a preacher, and he had a desire for this one girl that he liked. She was a beautiful girl, and I mean, he liked this girl so much, and he said, you know what? He said when me and so-and-so, when I get her and she becomes my wife, he said, you know, I will surrender to preach then, God. I'll surrender then. And during that preacher that was there, a preacher was there visiting, preaching his revival, and he did not surrender like he should, because he told God, whenever I get so-and-so, he said, then I'll surrender to preach. One year passed, and that same preacher came back to that church. That preacher was preaching that meeting, and that boy went to talk to that preacher, and he said, preacher, he said this, and he told you that story. He said, 1 year ago you were here, and he said, God dealt with my heart about preaching. God was speaking to my heart about preaching, and I didn't want to preach. I was afraid to surrender at the time because I had a desire for so-and-so. I wanted her to be my girl. I wanted her to be my wife, and I told God that whenever we get married and everything's okay, he said, then I'll surrender to preach. He said, preacher, that's 1 year ago. He said, since then, he said, I've lost my virginity, and I have a disease that will kill me. Scarred. Saul was scarred. David was scarred. Peter was scarred. Scars are from sin. And I say to you, young people, scars are for life. When judgment falls, imprisonment, there's scars. Let me say to you, you'll receive loneliness. People today don't want to be lonely. Today, people take dope, they get drunk so they can forget their problems, or they run heavily after pleasure. Can I say to you, friend, you think about Samson. Nobody cares about Samson now. Listen to me. He used to be in the parties, in the fields, and have a great time. Now he's in prison in the dark. Are you hearing me? He's in the dark all the time. He went from partying to darkness and loneliness. You picture him. He's sitting in a prison house, and it's dark. No matter if it's daytime, no matter if it's nighttime, it's dark. He has no eyes. It's dark and lonely. His family can't help him. He's so backslidden that God's people can't help him. He's had all kinds of fame. He's had all kinds of fortune. He's had popularity. Listen to me, young people. He's had friends. He's had fun. And now he has nobody. Samson was used. Samson was abused. Samson was emptied. Samson was finished. Kind of like an old harlot or like an old drunkard. You go to the big cities of America. I don't know how it is here. It's probably a lot the same. You go to the big cities of America like Detroit. I've been to the Detroit Rescue Mission and the Baltimore Mission over in Maryland. I've been to the Columbus Mission and down in New Orleans. I've been in the ghetto of New Orleans and Baltimore and Detroit and Columbus. You know what you see there? Loneliness. I see 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds laying against fences, drunk, passed out, laying on sidewalks. They don't care who sees them. I walk past men, they're laying there, and puke is on their clothes as they're passed out on the sidewalk. I see them over there huddled up in a corner somewhere against a fence underneath a bush, lonely and all alone by themselves. My heart's broke as I was in Baltimore, and we was out there on the streets feeding the homeless and trying to preach to them people out there on the street. And a girl walked up by herself. I couldn't believe it. A girl walked up by herself. She couldn't have been no more than 30-something years old. She looked like she was 50. Walked up by herself, and you could see in her eyes that she was so lonely and hurting so bad. As she looked at me, and as I tried to witness to her, I wanted to just hold her. I wanted to try to help her, but it's been too late for her. She's alone. She's by herself. She's in chock full of sin and loneliness. I've watched them as they dig through the bushes and tip up empty beer bottles, empty beer cans, trying to get one more drip. I mean, their lives is a wreck. Their lives is messed up. Look over here. They used to be your age. Some of them probably sat in church. Oh, it never happened to me, preacher. That's what they thought. They thought of fun and all the party and all the beer and all the liquor and all the women and all the guys and said, oh man, this is a great time. Hey, we're having a great time. Yeah, if you could only see what you was going to be like in about 5 or 10 years, you wish to God you never messed with it. When judgment falls, young person, you'll receive loneliness. Many today are out of church and away from family. They're divorced. They never see their kids. Their family can't help them. Their church can't help them. They don't have anything. They're lonely. Judgment has fallen. They get deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Or they commit suicide. They try to forget their loneliness. And Samson, you picture him. He's sitting there in the dark. He's lonely. He's contemplating suicide. It's dark. It's quiet. It's lonely. He's thinking, I hate this life. He's thinking, sin does not pay. He's thinking, where are my friends now? Can I say to you, when judgment falls, loneliness is coming. You don't want to go there. I can see Samson as he's sitting there. Picture him sitting there in that prison. He's lonely. It's dark. He's thinking, I wish I'd have never met Delilah. He's thinking, I wish I'd have listened to my mom and dad. He's sitting there in a prison house, if you would, and he's all by himself, and he can't see, and it's day after day after day. I wish I'd have never done what I did. All the parties, they're all gone now, and it wasn't worth it. And the girls, it wasn't worth it. And man, I'm so lonely. And I just want to die. And he sits there day after day after day. He never thought it happened to him. Just like you never think it would happen to you. When judgment falls, there's imprisonment, there's scars, there's loneliness. Let me say, there's humiliation. The Bible said in verse 25, they made sport of him. They laughed at him. Young people, they mocked him. None of you want us to get you up here on the platform and start pointing out all your faults and laughing at you and mocking at you. I doubt there's anybody that would be glad to sit up here on the platform and let us just start picking out your problems. You say, oh yeah, that'd be funny, that'd be cool. Yeah, for about a minute, then after that, it'd start getting serious. Next thing you know, you'd be probably crying. Nobody likes to be laughed at. Nobody likes to be mocked. But can I say to you, the devil made things look good for him just like he makes things look good for you. Satan will dress the men up for you, girls. Satan will dress the women up for you fellas, but it's still sin. Men and women and friends and parties and fun and worldly pleasures and flirting and the good times, Satan knows how to dress them up. I can see Samson as he's racing his chariot around around the fire. He's racing his chariot out there around in the fields with all his friends. And he's saying, man, ain't this great? We're having a great time. And he's around all the people, and he's hanging out, if you would, at the parties. And I don't know. I mean, he's hanging out in the woods and the fields. And today they hang out at somebody's house, and they hang out at the parking lots, and they hang out at the clay pits, and they hang out in the fields today, and they go down by the lake, or they go down by the river, and they hang out, and they say, man, ain't this life great, man? I mean, we got girls, and we got guys, and we got parties, and we got music, and we got drugs, we got this, we got sex, we got all the things, and we're having a great time. Ain't this wonderful? Yeah, you think it's wonderful, but one of these days, judgment's coming. He's sitting there having a great time, and all of a sudden, like the Bible said, it said the devil's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil says, yeah, Samson, yeah, I got you right where I want you, boy. And he stabs him right in the back. Judgment came. Now Samson's being mocked at and laughed at. The very ones that he used to hang around are now laughing at him. The very ones that he used to think was his friends. Ha ha! Look at Samson now. He's not so popular now. They never cared anything about Samson. And I say to you young people, this world, dear Lord, preacher, I broke your pulpit. This world, listen to me, young people, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Listen to me. This world, young person, don't care anything about you. Don't let Satan mess this up. The Bible says this, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says this in Proverbs 16:18. I'm about done, but you stay with me. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Young people, listen. If you think the world's your friend, if you think the world's your friend, you're a first-class fool. Amen. Fellas, those guys that you think are so cool and you're having a great time, you listen to me. You're a fool if you think you're their friend. You're a fool. Heartache's coming. Trouble is coming. Don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it. Trouble's coming. You listen to me, friend. There is no friend, get this in your heart, there's no friend better than Jesus. Amen. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. He'll never stab you in the back. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Samson never dreamed what would happen to him. Would happen. Let me give you the last point and I'll be done. He received imprisonment. He received scars. He received loneliness. He received humiliation. Can I say to you, he received death. What a way to end your life. Look at verse 26, if you would. Verse number 26. The Bible said down there in verse number 26 through 30, said, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. This is the time that's taking place where the people are all outside and they're all up on the balconies and they're all around up there and they're laughing at Samson. They're mocking him. This little boy is walking him by the hand, and they're mocking him. And Samson says this, and he said unto the lad that held him by the hand, he said, suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and behold, while Samson made sport, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other on his left. And watch what he says. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death more than they which he slew in his life. Listen to me, young people. He cared nothing about life anymore. That is the end result of a backslider or a lost person. Death means you're finished. God let Samson suffer for a while before he died. But Samson finished without finishing his course. Paul said this, he said, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course. What an awesome saying. What an awesome thing to be able to go through life and say, I have finished my course. Can I say to young people, God can and he will put you on the shelf or kill you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for every young person here tonight. Some are lost and won't get saved. Some are carnal and won't get right. Some won't surrender to his will. Some have other plans and they don't care what God's plans are. Can I say to you, friend, listen to me. You'll care. You will care. You will care. Though it's in your 20s, though it's in your 30s, though it's in your 40s, you will care when judgment falls. And it will. It will fall. Samson could have done so much for God. There's no telling what Samson could have done for God. You don't have to live in sin until you die. There was a young man that God was dealing with in a service. The preacher was preaching away, and God was dealing with him and dealing with him and dealing with him. And this boy was under conviction. He knew he needed to be saved. He knew he needed to listen to God. He knew that he was lost. He knew that his life was not right. And the boy sat there and he clung to the pew and he sat there during the invitation and the preacher begged him to come, and the preacher could tell that he was under such great conviction and begged him to come, and the boy stepped out onto the aisle and instead of going forward, he turned and went out the doors of the church. I believe it was a week or 2 weeks later that preacher was called to the bedside of that boy in the hospital. This preacher was a great preacher and a great prayer warrior, and he was a visiting evangelist, and he was a great preacher and prayed, and again, the man could pray and get God, amen, and get God to answer prayer. And he went to that boy and he said, son, he said, the night I was preaching, he said, you were under conviction. I could tell you was under conviction, and God showed me and God told me that you were lost, and I know that you need to be saved. And he said, son, would you please get saved before it's too late? And that boy said this, he said, preacher, when I walked out of the church the other night, something died on the inside of me. The man fell out on his feet and began to pray, oh God, would you please speak to the boy one more time? Would you please save him? Would you please speak to him? I want to get saved. He's going to die. Would you please speak to him? The preacher looked up into the boy's face. He said, son, would you please trust God? With a blank stare and a blank face, that teenage boy said, something died on the inside of me. That boy died and went to hell. Teenager. Judgment fell. Some asked, well, what do I do, preacher? God said this, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just, I like this, to forgive us of all our sins. You say, well, when's it too late? When he quits speaking to you. If you sense him speaking to you tonight, it's not too late. God will forgive. God will save you. God will forgive you if you are saved and continue to use you. But when judgment falls, every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. It's the last service, please. No one looking around. Please, let's kind of stop the movement if we would. I would appreciate it if we'd stop the movement. Let's try to be still. I want you to listen. Is there anyone tonight that would be honest, that would be honest with themselves and with God and with me? No one looking around, please. Is there any young person here tonight in the building? Turn me up, please, brother. Is there any young person in the building tonight that would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. Maybe you're an adult and you're here. Is there anyone that would be glad to raise their hand that would be honest and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please slip your hand up? It's our last service together. Would you slip your hand up, please? God bless you. I see your hand. I think you raised it the other night. Anyone else? Anyone else? Please, 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 please. Anyone? The vestibule, in the back. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Come on, young people. Be honest. Don't let this meeting go by. Don't leave here lost. No one's looking around. No one's looking around. I need a lady counselor, if you would, just kind of ease up toward the front. Maybe a man counselor, if you'd ease up to the front. No one's looking around. We just need a couple, and that'd be enough. Father in heaven, Lord, so important, dear Jesus, so important that people get saved before it's eternally too late. It would save them from a life of heartache. It'd save them from a life of scars. Lord Jesus, please. Lord, there's a young lady that raised her hand, and there's no doubt more, no doubt. But God, maybe she's a shy one. Maybe she's afraid. Maybe she's scared. I pray you'd give her strength and courage to slip out. Let someone take a Bible and show her how she can get saved. Father, I pray that. Satan, I rebuke you that you have no part in her life. Father, please give us power. Please help her, Lord, to receive Christ. No one looking around, please. Young lady, would you please just kind of slip out and let this lady take you and show you from the Bible how you know for sure you're saved, would you? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come to God? God speaks in your heart, young person. If you didn't raise your hand, would you come? All right, young person, I want to ask you a question. Are you doing things in your life that's fixing to cause judgment to fall? Is imprisonment fixing to come to you? Is scars fixing to come to you? Is loneliness, humiliation, or even possible death, God forbid? How are you living your life? What do you do when you're not here? Why won't you just give God your life? Sis, if you begin to play, please. Young people, it's your last opportunity during this meeting to come to an old-fashioned altar. Fellas, when are you going to be the man and stand up and do what's right? Ladies, what about it? Let's all stand. God in heaven, I pray that you deal with them. God, I pray they'd come. God, I pray they'd make great decisions. Some of them are fooling around with things that are not right and sin, and God, it's going to destroy them. Heavenly Father, I pray that God, you please, please, please would speak to their hearts. God, help them to come, please. Oh, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. If God's